All right, role play level of concern coming up in about a half an hour. Chris Johnston will join us. The Raptors are back in action tonight. Big favorites at home against the Spurs. Leafs back in action on Friday in Columbus, and then at home against Columbus. A rare home and home against the worst team in the league. But
you want to talk about a potential trap game. 10-day vacay followed by Columbi.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trap weekend.
Dangerous stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be, for sure. And the Leafs will be back on the ice tomorrow, and we'll find out more about Matt Murray's status. I think at some point you got to get an answer on Jake Muzzin, right? Like, as much as I think most people have concluded we're not going to see him play again. Yeah. Certainly not this year, but there will be some sort of a conclusion on that, I believe.
Yeah. Agreed.
And Austin Matthews, right? Like, Matthews, will he be on the ice? Will he be on his own? Will he be, I don't know. It's been...
And the goalie, Hayes.
A couple of weeks. Yeah, and of course, Matt Murray. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, Matt Murray first and foremost, I think. You know, just to see his involvement. They'll have Joseph Woll there. They'll be, you know, Samsonov will probably play on Friday, I guess.
Yeah.
But we'll know by Saturday for sure if Murray's available and if he's going to play.
You think Joseph Woll will get a start this weekend then?
I would think if Murray's not available, I would suggest they should do that.
I laid eyes on him this weekend, right? He was in the AHL All-Star game.
Right.
Big goalie. Got a chance to see him up close and personal. Man, there's some good young players coming. Like, that's the, you know, we always look at the superstars that just come into the league right away at 19, 20. There's some kids that are like 21 that are just being seasoned that are going to be some really good players. I think Calgary's got a couple. The Leafs had, for sure, Woll was there. And then Hoffenmeyer was there, too. I got to check his age. But, I mean, they've got a few guys that are coming, and that's what you need is continue to turn that over, because it's cheap contracts, it's young guys, you got to infuse that. But there were some good, like, 20, 21-year-old, 22-year-old players at that AHL All-Star game. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, and those players can play a different role in the trade deadline when you hear teams say they want to bring in ready-made players, right? Or guys who are already established as opposed to draft picks, which are completely unknown, and they're young. You know, they're 18 years old, and they're not prepared to step into the league. Where if you get a guy who's 20 or 21 and has been in the A for a couple of years and is right there, ready to knock on the door and make that next step, that can be a valuable trade chip for sure. Yeah. And I don't know if the Leafs, you know, are looking at it from that standpoint themselves, but, every day there's a different rumor, there's a different team connected to different players.
Right.
Feels like Jacob Chychrun is the guy that a lot of people are talking about now.
Oh, really? Now?
Yes.
They have been
now.
For 4 years.
He's been available basically since he got drafted.
I can't even hear. Like, I like the kid. He's a good young player. I don't know. Like, but I'm actually sick of that one. I'm sick of that rumor. It's just like, 4 years? This guy, why the hell does nobody want him? Am I missing something here? Did teams secretly hate the guy?
No.
Why hasn't anyone pulled the trigger on that?
I think the asking price is so outrageous. That
for
like,
4 years? That's not possible.
Well,
sooner or later, someone has to say, okay, that wasn't the price. Well, this is the price. It's just like Jimmy in Vancouver. It's like, you can say what you want about the return or whatever, but he found a trading partner that offered him something, and he's like, that's about right. Instead of saying, no, that, like, I don't get it with that one. I'm actually sick of that rumor. I am.
Well, I know, but this is a 24-year-old defenseman who's under a really good cost control contract. Mm-hmm. So my understanding is they're asking for two first rounders and something.
Okay, so but they should have known that they're not getting that. So what the hell are they waiting for?
Well, I don't think this is the thing that people need to wrap their head around. Why do you need to trade him? He's 24. Like, he's under cost control under a long-term contract.
Noodles, what about for some clarity for all involved? Most importantly, the player. Go up to him and say, you know what? What are you thinking here? Instead of having him play three different seasons thinking he's going to get traded, how goofy is that?
Well,
how annoying is that for the player?
It is. I think there's – I mean, I would argue there's – I'm sure there's a – a line of communication between him, his
agent. I would have gone home. I would have gone home and said, you tell me where I'm going.
Listen, he's got some street clothes in him, Jacob Chychrun. Let's call it what it is, right? He's played 35 games this year. He played 47. The guy's hurt all the time. All the time. So I think there's some concern, and that's more about the trading partners. This still speaks to what you're talking about, though, is that Arizona needs to realize if they've determined for whatever reason they have to trade him, which doesn't make sense because he is still a good young player when healthy under cost certainty.
Right.
But if they've decided, you know, before we move on with a new era, he's got to go, then it's on them to adjust the price. But I understand why teams would want him, but I also understand why they wouldn't want to overpay. Because you're going to get a 65% player. You're going to get out of the place 65% of the time. That's difficult to justify. Here's Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider. Where are you at here with the Chychrun rumors that have been ongoing since the Middle Ages?
It's not even rumors. It's a saga now, CJ.
It's a saga. I mean, he asked for a trade, I think, about 10 games into last season. And so it's been a long time hearing his name out there. You know, probably getting his hopes up at times that maybe something was going to happen and hasn't. I think, you know, he does bear some responsibility too, in addition to what you're saying, Hayes, because, you know, I think the team has tried to work with him to only potentially trade him to certain places. You know, I don't know that he wants to just go anywhere else. It's not like he wants to play on any one of the other 31 teams. And so I think that might have complicated some stuff early on. You know, that's more of a last year kind of issue, but. You know, I think it would be best for all involved if they can find a way to resolve this here before March 3rd, because obviously he wants to do something new. And I think that the Coyotes are probably in a spot where they need to move on to and, you know, focus on what they're doing.
CJ, was I correct in kind of quoting the parameters of what I believe, or do you know kind of what the parameters of the trade is or the ask? Is it two first rounders or something like that type of situation? I'm not sure if you're privy to it or can share it with us.
Yeah, I think it's two first rounders, you know, plus another, you know, prospect or another piece as well.
No.
You know, and the thinking is, you know, Nils Lundqvist was traded from the Rangers to Dallas in training camp. I don't remember the exact term, but it was a first plus, I think. And you know, in this case, you're getting a bona fide player that, you know, in Lundqvist's case, you know, well thought of prospect and it's started to play this year in Dallas. But, you know, I think there's more of a known quantity what you're getting in Chychrun. And, of course, just the fact that, you know, if you traded for him today, you'd have him potentially for three playoff runs.
CJ, what about the idea of just making a deal? I like to ask for things, too, but I don't get them. I wanted to go to the waste management as our show, but we didn't go. So tough you-know-what for us. It just doesn't make sense to say, oh, yeah, we're asking for two first. It's a year and a bit, and it doesn't make sense for the player or the organization to just hang on to him. I think the whole situation's been nonsense.
Well, I get where you're coming from, for sure. I think that if you're managing the asset in this case and you're making decisions for the Coyotes, you're thinking we don't have to trade him at this deadline because he's still going to have value next year when he's got, you know, 2 years.
Yeah, but how much quality are you going to get out of the player, Chris? Like, the guy's like, I'm still here, really? Like, it's crazy business to me.
Well, and look, they're a team that's not trying to win in the short term, so stuff like this goes on. I mean, it'd be a totally different conversation if someone's asking out of a team that was trying to make the playoffs, right? Because you wouldn't necessarily want someone like that around your group. You'd probably want it expedited, but, you know, the Coyotes are punting not just on this year, but the next couple. And so, you know, I think that creates a little bit of the dynamic that's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
What if they get Bedard? Are they still going to punt on the next couple?
Well, that'll probably change things, won't it?
I would hope.
Well, yeah. I mean, you'd have to spend some money or do something to surround him with players that you want him to at least learn from, mentorship, that type of stuff. I mean, I think you adjust your plan if you get a generational player as opposed to, you know, a guy who's really good.
Let me rephrase the question. Do you think there's any possibility of an Eric Lindros situation with Bedard?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, I don't know the kid personally. I haven't heard anything like that. You know, he seems, seems like a really good kid from a good family. I'm not saying Eric wasn't, but it, you know, you need really specific circumstances for someone to take that kind of stand. I haven't heard anything like that in the air or don't have any reason to believe that could happen. You know, the flip side of it, if the Coyotes go ahead and build this arena, which, you know, they're one step away from doing it, is
sure they are.
I don't. I don't. Well, I mean, look, they have the funding in place. It's down to a vote of the citizens in May. But, you know, if that happens, it's not crazy. You know, there was a time I remember when the Lightning were a bit of a laughingstock as an organization, and now it's one of the top places players want to play. I think Arizona could actually get to that point. I know it sounds, because it's been such an ordeal for that organization, but if they build the proper rink and the way it looks, and they turn things around with this rebuild and actually, you know, stockpile players, I mean, who wouldn't want to play in a tax-friendly, nice weather place if you felt like you had a chance to win?
CJ, I totally agree with that sentiment. What I don't understand was, what the hell was the last rink that they built? Like, who built that? Where? Why did they put it there? And why was that just end up being a waste of time?
I think they got a deal
cheap
on the land.
Cheap land.
It's my
oh
memory.
My God.
But the problem is they didn't build it anywhere near Phoenix. I mean, at least Tempe, you know, where the idea now is it's closer to a place where their fans live, where players are going to want to be. I actually do believe I don't think it's crazy. If shovels go in the ground and they're building that rink, I actually think that they're not as far off getting to finally where they want to be. Quite honestly, I think that with the right owner and the right situation there and, you know, that could be like, why wouldn't you want to play there?
There's no doubt about it, CJ. Yep. It could be Tampa West. It's got the weather. You could tee it into some of the best places in the world. But you gotta fix all of this mess.
Well, you gotta
build it
in the right
spot. That's what Billy's trying to do. Yeah,
that's what it is. I mean, you can think of it, and respectfully, I mean, Ottawa in Canada, that's a ways out. Florida Panthers in Sunrise, that's a ways out from densely populated areas. And then Arizona in, what was it, Glendale or wherever the hell that was, way out there, like that. That was in the wrong spot. If you put the rinks in the right spot in these respective cities, they're going to be fine. Like Florida, I played in Florida. I'm in Ottawa all the time. Ottawa's talking about Sale and LeBreton Flats. Get down there, build a rink in a real high, densely populated area. Florida, you guys have been there. That rink rink is awesome.
You got to win, though.
Way the
right?
hell out there. Yeah.
You have to win. Like
I honestly left a small piece of my soul on one of the shuttle buses during the All-Star weekend, just going back and forth out to that rink in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah. Sanity.
It is.
It is. But they used to have the rink, and I know it was gritty, but when the rats were around and when it was in Miami, it was in a gritty area, but they were ramming it in there every night because you get walk up, you get people that are like, oh, the hockey game's playing at 7 o'clock, go up and buy a ticket. Like, you have to make a trek out to Sunrise. It's an actual special trip to get out there to watch a hockey game on a Tuesday night against a non-division opponent. Like, that's a commitment as opposed to it being in a highly dense area.
That's why, like, Vegas got it right. They knew, yes. Like, we got to be on the strip. We have to be right there on the strip. We can't expect people to leave the felt to take a half an hour trip to the desert and, you know, possibly be a success long term. With Chris Johnston, you mentioned Ottawa, and I think you were reporting, CJ, that they could be looking at upwards of $800 million for that team. I mean, and is Ryan Reynolds still, like, actually involved in this, or where does that stand?
Well, I think he's a little bit on the sidelines, so to speak, because, you know, there's so many groups that are jockeying to get involved or are involved. They're making their pitches now. I think, you know, he wants to get on the winning bid. You know, and I guess there's a world too where, you know, one of those, the group that puts it together maybe wouldn't want him. You know, having watched that Wrexham documentary, I mean, you can see the easy crossover there that there's things he can do, but, you know, I don't know how much money he necessarily wants to put in. I think, you know, he wants a piece and in exchange, you know, he's lending his celebrity and the access to a lot of this stuff. So it's sort of TBD whether he's in. I think the league's very interested in having him in, but, you know, we'll see, you know, which group rises to the top and, you know, if they want him to be part of it. But yeah, it sounds like they're going to get really good money there. I mean, you got over 15 groups stepping forward. It's sort of like selling a house.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's a lot of possible leverage for the Melnyk family. And, you know, Bettman spoke recently, and he said one contingency is that anyone buying it, they stay in Ottawa, you know. And we've been critical of Bettman in the past with how he stands behind Arizona, even though it's been a mess. But it does cross the border, you know. Like, he is committed to staying in Ottawa.
Sorry, just cut out for a second there, guys.
Okay, we got you. We're just saying how Bettman is committed to keeping the team in Ottawa. And I've never heard of it being up for debate, though. Have you, CJ? Like, would any of these owners have their eye on Houston or Kansas City or anything like that?
I guess maybe he just wants to quell any ideas before they happen. I mean, part of that, I assume, is political because, you know, they're still trying to keep things moving forward at LeBreton Flats, which is harder to do when you don't have the new ownership in place just yet. And I think he wants to be sending the right messages and to be very clear that whoever's buying the team is going to be assuming that project. But no, I haven't heard anything credible about that. I suppose we all might have wondered about it, you know, when news of Eugene Melnyk's death, you know, happened nearly a year ago now. Yeah, I think that there might have been some just, you know, he'd owned the team for so long. He'd been steadfast about holding on to it through, you know, some of his own personal ups and downs financially. You know, there might have been some of those thoughts, but you know, I would say for the last few months here, since it's the team's, you know, gone up for sale and you know, it's clear you have some serious players, you know, getting in on trying to buy them, that I haven't had any reason to think that they'd be moving as part of this sale.
I've always felt, and maybe this is just either wishful thinking or maybe there is something, a bigger plan at place, but I've always felt like the league has had Quebec City just tucked in their back pocket going, if anything goes south here, we can go there pretty quickly. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, and I think it's more wishful thinking. Same thing with the Toronto market, like adding a second team. I know that would cause an uproar here. We've talked about it several times on this show. I kind of think it would be neat just to, the city could house two teams, no problem. But it just, I feel like if something went south with one of these organizations, whether it just didn't work or, you know, maybe they wanted a different plan, it would be easy to just have Quebec City and Toronto. You know, it'd get the support, and you know that they wouldn't fail in these cities. I don't know how you feel about that, CJ. Maybe it's wishful thinking.
No chance it would fail, I don't think. I mean, I guess Quebec, you might have some broader concerns over a period of time if there's enough of a corporate base there to support the team. I mean, we've even seen in Winnipeg, right, in the second version of the Jets, you know, lately they've had trouble selling out. I mean, after some of the initial enthusiasm wears off, and it's just a smaller market to be filling a building and asking the kind of, you know, prices that these teams get for their tickets and their suites. I mean, I do think that there's at least some concern, but I mean, it's a hockey mad place. They've got a great venue. You know, it seems like there's always a couple in the back pocket, right? I mean, Kansas City for years was rumored because they built an NHL style rink, whatever that was, 10, 15 years ago. You know, Hamilton, you know, a little bit before my time, but they built Cops Coliseum, I believe, with the idea of trying to get an NHL team there. Ironically, I think they're going through the Oakview Group is renovating that building, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe they'll get back in the mix at some point. And then, of course, you have Quebec. You know, I guess the league probably has a secret file or folder somewhere and, you know, break in case of emergency because, you know, the situation that led the Thrashers to go back to Winnipeg happened pretty quickly. If you remember, it was largely out of the public eye and wasn't speculated upon. All of a sudden, it was just a thing that was happening. So I'm guessing if you're a sports league, you need a few of those just in case, options on the table.
Yeah, Atlanta was a disaster. Like, we forget, like, oh, you played in, did you play games against Atlanta, oh? Like, I did.
I was in their division.
Like, the rink was the weirdest layout. You came out of your dressing room and skated on the ice, and it was all luxury boxes on one side. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just the weirdest, like,
it was bad junk. Lighting
the
in
whole,
there.
Oh, it was just, the whole lighting. Thing was junk. It was just junk.
It was a nightmare.
Never had a good crowd there. Like, never did you go in there saying, this building's rocking. I got three hat tricks in my career. Two of them were in Atlanta, so it's...
Right. Yeah, but amazing. Like, that's a major metropolis in the U.S.
Yeah.
Massive. And even the NHL realized we can't even keep pretending like this is going to get off the ground. You know, like we just, like, is that, that's, we can, Houston's a massive market. They're not there. But the fact that you're not in Houston or Atlanta, like, Yeah. Those are massive. Those are top 10 markets in the U.S.
You could always push it past dinner in Atlanta. It's like we can go out to a nice casual place and have drinks until 12:31, and we will still smoke them tomorrow.
Yes. That probably didn't help. They were a terrible team.
And you'll get two hat tricks while doing it, though.
Exactly.
Playing guilty.
Well, it's generally when you played best, or most people anyway, with Chris Johnston. CJ, what about the Leafs practicing tomorrow? What do you have your eyes on tomorrow? What are you waiting to hear from the coach, and is there a player in particular you have your eyes on, more so the injured players prior to the break?
Yeah, I think, you know, where Matt Murray's at will be interesting. As we know from the couple experiences this year, even if, you know, they want to start them, so, you know, they have back-to-backs Friday, Saturday, a home and home with Columbus, even if, you know, Sheldon Keefe comes out on Thursday and says Matt Murray will start on one of those two games, I mean, you're just not sure, because there's been a couple instances where that was due to happen and he wasn't able to go in those games. So I think, you know, for me, he's just a bit of a question mark. I mean, who knows? There's still a couple weeks to the deadline, but it's not like they're necessarily in the goalie market, but maybe you have to start thinking about it if you have any reason to believe he can't play. Obviously, he could squelch that. You know, on the Matthews front, I don't think I don't know what the update will be, but it's not like he's going to play this weekend or anything like that. I still think he's a little ways off. You know, checked in on that over the break, and, you know, sounds like he's progressing well. No reason for concern, but I think they're also not in a mood to, or of a mind to rush him back.
Right. Did he stay in town to rehab?
That I don't know. I didn't get his travel itinerary. I don't think they could make you stay. I mean, maybe he wanted to stay, but I'm pretty sure, you know, the way the CBA works is it's complete time off.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could get somebody to rehab you wherever you go. I mean, and they're not just going to say, hey, we'll see you in 6 days or 8 days. Like, they're going to make sure he is under the best care possible.
Yeah. I mean, if the first 10 days of your rehab is doing toe touches, then I'm pretty sure he could have done that at home.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah,
or in Mexico, or, you know, somewhere nice.
Exactly. Yeah, Bahamas. That's probably. Yeah. Although, I don't think social media was on fire. I think he's smart enough to say, if I'm going somewhere, I'll keep it to myself.
Agreed.
But anyway, we'll find out more tomorrow. Thanks, CJ. We appreciate it.
No problem. Be well, guys.
Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, you can rehab wherever, but, you know, you better not be jumping off a roof into a pool if you've got a bad knee.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a different level of, you know, having a vacation and having a good time.
Yeah, that's tough. You got a bad knee, can't play, but all of a sudden you're spotted on the dance floor in Vegas or something. Yeah, you got to be mindful.
You
got to
be careful. You got to be careful.
Straight running man in Mexico.
Yeah.
Would get you in a bunch of trouble.
Huge trouble, man. Huge. And that's why, again, I don't know what he's up to. Who knows? And I'm sure, listen, he's a pro. He's going to take care of his body and make sure he's in a good place. But if anyone spotted you, we talked about it with other guys in the past, you know, couldn't play, were injured, but they're skiing, they're doing whatever.
Yeah,
you know, I almost lost my best friend in Mexico. Foam party, and
really?
I don't know what he was thinking. He had a lot of booze in him, but I think he thought that under all the foam was some kind of trampoline or something, and this guy did a swan dive off of a speaker, and it was a marble floor.
Oh my god.
it was a horrific scene. I thought he was dead. But he popped up and he kept trucking, man.
Well, usually when you're hammered, your body's limber, right? How many times have you seen videos on the internet? A guy like falls out of the second story, he's hammered, and like bounces off the ground.
But I just remember my flip flops were like around the floor, and he was up on this speaker or ledge or something for quite some time, and he thought it was some kind of spongy floor, and it was a mess. It was a tough scene.
That would be.
Could have gone south.
That you knock teeth out, break your face, anything. And then and guess what? Down there, that foam party is not stopping.
No,
because
they'll shovel you out of there.
They will shovel
moving.
You out. You got to move, man. You're causing a scene here.
Exactly.
You have to leave. Yeah, it's you're right though, man. It's like Gumby. Like you booze enough, you can fall, and you see some weird videos of people falling and having to get up. We talked about that last week with you, Noodles.
Yes.
And
I had to get up for sure. That was it. Didn't matter you'll see the amount of pain.
People jump into a lake that they think is either thin ice or water, and it's just pure thick ice.
Yeah.
And there's a video of a woman that does that. She's I think she believes she will fall through the ice.
Oh.
And she doesn't. And it's like a cannonball.
Yeah.
It's so painful. And it's loud. Like you can hear her body just breaking. It's really not good.
Yeah.
Really not good. Mark Kastetcher will join us. He was in L.A. last night calling history. LeBron passing the record. Breaking the record, setting a new record, and it was quite the scene last night in LA. So we'll catch up with Mark, Steve Sands in about an hour. We got golf picks for the Waste Management, but Role Play Level of Concern is next.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking. Do you understand?
I do. I really do.
All right, here we go. Role play level of concern. We haven't played this in a while.
I'm very excited. I'll get a doozy. I'm always due for a doozy.
Yes. Yeah, and you will have one here. I've got one set up for you right off the bat. So, as we know, we all play the role of something, you know, some person, something, some situation, and then we detail what could possibly happen, and we go around the table. And we detail our level of concern. It's either a pint on the patio, maybe a six-pack and a couple of shots. Now it's Marty Wildwood, our boy from Hamilton.
Yeah.
Which is, what did we, that's six beers?
Six Busch Light, six Bud Light, and I love them, tall boys.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, right? That's probably another level. That's 12 tall boys. And then nuclear levels of concern is still Nick Cage. All right? So those are your options. Let's get this party started. Oh, you are playing the role of the darkness and isolation retreat. You are playing the role of a darkness and isolation retreat. What is your level of concern that Aaron Rodgers will not complete his four-day journey?
I think I'm Marty Wildwood.
Six Busch Light, six Bud Light, and I love them, tall boys.
Six Busch Light and six Bud Lights, because I don't see how any – I just have one question. Does the dude have an iPad in there or –
No, I don't believe he has access to anything
he's leaving but his, food he's leaving
and
in
drink.
12 hours. He's leaving in 12 hours, the isolation room.
Yeah.
It's just – I don't care what this guy's all about. We talked about some of his habits yesterday and what he does. He ain't staying in there for more than 12 hours, man. And how much longer do you need to think? Like, you know, if somebody says, let me get back to you, you gotta sleep on it, it's not for 4 days.
No, that's it. That's it.
Like, it's not for 4 days.
Once you've concluded what you have to conclude, and I think he already kind of knows anyway.
Yeah, and I think he's kind of full of baloney where he likes to tell people that he's going for 4 days when in actuality it's 12 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Might be
he's a bit of a, he's a lot of a hero. He just, I think he likes the public thinking that he's this eccentric
he's dude. The dude. Yeah, he's the dude. And we had Bart Scott on last hour, and Bart pointed out last year he went through that cleanse where he was just a mess.
Yeah.
And Bart said, you know, it's amazing what rich people will do, like to try to prove that they're different or that they have a different
Somebody a bunch of cash and a Google machine, you get some goofy stuff.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah.
All right, so you're Marty Wildwood on that one. I like that. Noodles, you were playing the role of Austin Matthews. Austin Matthews, what is your level of concern this current injury could have an effect on your playoff production?
One beer, two beer, like low. Put it that way. Like
okay.
I need to know. And I'll be able to tell you 1 week from now, because if he's back playing, I'm not worried about it. If this continues to bleed on, and now we're looking at 6 weeks, and, you know, getting back into it after that. If this goes from minimum 3 weeks into like 6-7, like Thatcher Demko was supposed to be out 3 weeks or
right.
4 weeks, and all of a sudden it's like 12.
Mm-hmm.
You start creeping into some weird territory, then I'll get concerned. But right now I'm like a pine on a patio. I'm one beer, two beer type of thing, relaxing, not too worried about it. The playoffs are far enough away that he'll be able to ramp it back up.
Yeah, still 2 months away, but you're right. If it's a lingering injury, like no reason to believe that it is or it isn't, quite frankly. Like the Leafs have not given much detail. But if it's something that you're not going to be back at 100%, is it something that maybe you don't get back on the ice for a month and a half as opposed to 3 weeks?
Right.
It is a difficult one to answer today. It is.
Right.
And I think that's reasonable. You know, there's a couple of drinks. It's not pine on a patio. I'm sorry. You can't have your best player out in February for a minimum 3 weeks and just say, oh, I'm cool. Like, it's all good.
With question marks. Like, nobody really knows.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'll know. I'll be able to assess it a week from now if he's back or not back. But right now, I'm still kind of chill about it because there's plenty of time.
All right.
That's my thought process.
I'm playing the role of LeBron James. LeBron, who is the new points leader in NBA history. What is my level of concern that last night was my last big, big spotlight moment in my career? It's high. It is high because
shall we go to Hamilton?
I think we shall. I think we shall. Go ahead and play Marty.
Nah, we're not going to play.
All right, we won't play Marty. That's Marty's. Apparently, we only play that once. Why would we be prepared for more Marty?
It's Marty Wildwood for sure.
That's just anyway.
Got to play it.
Yes, we'll get to it. I'm sure by the end of the afternoon.
Six Bush Lights. There we go.
Anyway, here's why. You've noticed.
Here's
LeBron.
Why it is or not.
Here's why it is a Marty Wildwood, and it could be closer to Nick Cage. He's going to have a spotlight. The last game he plays, we're going to know it's his last game. Like, LeBron is not going to pull up Brady and get into an offseason and say, you know what, I've retired. I think he'll let us know. That'll be a big moment. If he plays with his son, which I think is a low percentage chance of actually happening. But if that happens, okay, people will show interest. But in terms of, like, greatness, in terms of, wow, what a moment, it's all about LeBron, that felt like kind of one of the last chapters, if not the last chapter of the career. Because the Lakers are not winning. Like, the Lakers are not good enough to win a title. They're not going to win a championship. I think he might want out. Like, he might want out because he has been saying a couple of times this week, like, I believe I can do this for whoever I'm playing for. You know, not saying I'm going to do this for the Lakers the rest of my career.
Does he really want to fold up shop again and get out of that L.A. market?
He might have
it
to.
It seems like and I don't know why this would be, Hayes, but isn't packing up shop out of the L.A. market a little bit more difficult than Cleveland?
Yes.
Or, yeah, you know what
is.
I mean?
Like, yes, it time. Is.
He seems to be entrenched. Like,
he's a Hollywood guy. He's a Hollywood guy, for sure. But he's still playing at a remarkable level. Like, look at the numbers he's putting up, man. He's breaking. It was a foregone conclusion he was going to break this record. He might add another 3,000 points on top of the record. Like, he's
is there
keep
any
going.
Chance he crosses the street and plays for the Clip?
That I don't know. I doubt it because I don't know how that money would work.
Because then he's on a quality team, and he doesn't have to go anywhere.
But then the Lakers will hate you, right?
Yeah. Laker fans. Who cares, man? It's LeBron.
Laker fans would hate him. But I do think that felt like that was LeBron's celebration. You know, like that was it. What a moment. You passed Kareem. Everyone was there. Everyone will show up for your last game, too. But in terms of, like, the greatness of LeBron, I think he's got to be a little bit concerned that was his last big moment.
Is there any more records that he can catch that are that significant, though?
Not that significant, no. Not that significant. He can chase down the assist record. Like, there's
That's
a lot of
different
things he can chase down. But in terms of, like, a bold record that everyone knows about and focuses on, what he did last night is separate. You're playing the role of Patrick Kane. You're playing the role of Patrick Kane. What is your level of concern that if you don't waive your contract, Blackhawk fans will turn on you?
A glass of water with a lemon. No one's turning on me. I can do whatever I want. If I decide to go and chase a cup somewhere else, I'll do it. I brought you guys three cups. three cups during an incredible stretch. Like, there's no hate needed here. You really want me to stick around and hurt the team? Like, is that what you want? If I want to do it, I'll do it. But any decision I make, I should have carte blanche.
Well, you do based on your contract, but you don't with the fans. You know how fans are. They're so fickle, man. Like, those three cups, that was a long time ago, Showtime. A long time ago.
Thank you for calling me Showtime, because that's the nickname I deserve.
You deserve it.
What do you think the fans would want me to do?
I think they want you to waive the no trade.
And leave.
Get out. Absolutely. Because you'll probably bring in a first and maybe a prospect.
Well, here's the thing, though, Joe Blow fan. Here's the thing that you, Joe Blow fan, don't understand. When I sign the contract for no movement, you have to respect it. I've got family. I'm connected to the city. And I don't want to leave it. And one of my favorite compadres, Matt Sundin, he didn't do it either. Because he had that.
And what happened? They called him a smoke of five or whatever. Like they...
Exactly. And correction, the team has to respect it. The league has to respect it. The fan doesn't have to respect anything about your contract.
I don't respect your tone is what I don't respect.
You better watch yourself. Because
I'm just saying, it's my right, and if I don't want to leave, I'm not leaving.
Go ahead. You don't have to leave.
How quickly, Joe Blow, you forget about the three cups, don't you?
Listen, those cups were awesome. And you deserve a statue outside of that building.
Yeah. So your cane tattoo on your rear end, what about that? Thank you.
It'll be scrubbed. I'll find a way to have it removed.
Yeah.
Noodles, you are playing the role of Luka Doncic. You can imagine where this is going.
Yeah.
You're playing the role of Luka. What is your level of concern that your future success is tied to Kyrie Irving?
Just play it right now. Just play it.
You can never... Never ask me to stop drinking.
Throw Marty Wildwood on top of it.
Well, yeah, it is.
Double
it
is
Nick Cage. Six Bud Light, and I love them.
And Marty Wildwood. It really is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as Sam Mitchell the other day was, you know, talking about how amazing he was and, you know, Kyrie and what he can bring to the table, I'm just not convinced that it comes with a clean slate. Like, as you know, a month in, this guy's going to be a circus again, and it'll be something else. So, like, I just feel there are certain athletes, Aaron Rodgers is one of them now, there's just distractions and noise around them. And Brady's creeping into that, you know, with the underwear picture the other day. And, you know, like, it's just, there's guys, just, I don't know what's up with their deal right now, but Kyrie Irving is a distraction,
yes.
Even though he's an amazing player.
Difficult guy to rely on. Like, if you're Luka, you're desperate enough where you need him, and he's there now. It better work for you. And I don't know if Dallas will extend Kyrie, but if it works, they probably will.
What an incredible line yesterday when he said, "You know what? I wish I knew who I was getting in bed with in with Brooklyn when I signed there." I was like, don't you think the ownership in Brooklyn is saying, "I wish I knew who I was getting in bed
exactly.
with playing for my team"?
That is crazy. A two-way street, Kyrie.
Insanity, that line.
Yep, Kevin Durant saying that line. The Brooklyn Nets ownership saying that line. There's no question.
That's crazy.
All right, final one. I'm playing the role of the Toronto Blue Jays. What is my level of concern? Bo Bichette will walk in 3 years. This is a pine on the patio for me. A lot is being made of the deal that is being reported as done here, that Bo and the Jays have come to terms on a three-year deal, which are the three arbitration years, which means he wasn't going anywhere for 3 years anyway. And if they weren't willing to come to a conclusion on a massive deal and an agreement on a massive deal, then Bo wasn't going to give them a discount on year 4, 5, 6, 7 when he is a free agent. This, to me, means nothing in terms of his future. And it's 3 years is an eternity of pro sports.
It is, Hayes.
3 years is a long time.
Let me bring one thing to your attention, though. It does become frustrating when people like yourself and on MLB.com and our buddy Adnan and all his boys on his panel talk about him and Vladdy Jr. like two of the best young players in the game. And some of them have signed big-time deals. And it hasn't just been the kid down in Atlanta that signed the $100 million 10-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Fernando Tatis. There's been a bunch of guys that have signed monster deals, and they must be thinking, why aren't we falling into place here? People talk about us like we're the two of the best young players in the game, and we got to still deal with this kind of stuff.
Well,
it gets a little frustrating.
It can. I think there's a clear separation between Bo and Vladdy in terms of their value and in terms of their production. Vladdy's a clear-cut better player.
No kidding. Bo right. can't do the Mitch Marner to Austin Matthews thing.
No, exactly. That's it, right? Where there was a connection between those two. That's not going to happen here. That doesn't mean Bo isn't valued and isn't a good player. It has the potential to keep growing to be a great player, but he is not in the same category as Vladdy, as Tatis Jr. when he signed that deal. He's not there. So the Jays, understandably, they're somewhat likely reluctant to give him a 10-year deal, 12-year deal at big money. And if you're talking free agency in baseball, it's massive money. So right. Bo's probably saying, you want to buy up free agency years, you got to pay me $25 million a year for those, $30 million a year. The Jays aren't going to do that right now. I think they'd be willing to do it with Vladdy. I think they'd be silly not to. If Vladdy was willing to sign a 10-year deal at a monster number, I think you get that done. And I wouldn't be surprised if that did happen at some point in the next 12 months. But this Bichette avoiding arbitration stuff, it's a smart move. Why keep going back to the well? We talked about it when he filed and when they couldn't come to an agreement. Bichette is a businessman. He grew up in the game. His dad was a big leaguer for a long time. It's not personal. It is purely business.
Yep.
And 3 years, that's a good run. You got Bichette for 3 years. You knew it before this signing anyway. They had his arb rights. He wasn't going anywhere for 3 years if they didn't want him to. So it doesn't change anything. It just avoids the awkwardness of having to go through arbitration every single year.
Agreed.
And listen, if he's a great player in 2 years and they can work on an extension, they will, right? I believe they will. But if he walks, okay, then you got a 3-year window right now. That's a long time. 3 seasons to try to strike while the iron's hot. That's more than enough time.
Yep.
And, you know, Shapiro was speaking with Rob Longley of The Sun and actually was really detailing the kind of culture overhaul they're hoping for. Like, it's kind of interesting messaging from Shapiro where
the party at the end of the dugout is no longer.
That's right. And, you know, they've brought in Kiermaier. They've brought in, you know, a number of veteran guys who they believe can police the room alongside the young guys, the carryovers that have been here for a while. Right. And that's an interesting message. Like that.
Yeah.
The talent is there, they believe, but it's on the players to police themselves and to motivate themselves and keep themselves accountable,
mm-hmm.
Which is an intangible in a sport that is filled with tangible evidence to determine, you know, how everything's going to play out.
I always wondered that watching those guys at the end of the dugout. It's like sunflower seeds all over the hair, throwing them at each other, laughing all the time. I was like, is that guy's having fun or are those guys a little bit not focused, because it seemed to be a little bit of both.
A little bit of both, but you know what? It's just, I think they're identifying that these guys got to go through the process of maturing more and becoming.
But it got somebody's attention, Noodles, if two or three of them are gone.
Yeah, again, you bring in a Brandon Belt, you bring in a Kiermaier, you know, you bring in guys that are true grizzled vets in the game and that have been around for a long time. And that's kind of the ingredient that they're trying to pump into the clubhouse.
Yeah.
We'll see what it means and how valuable it turns out to be. Mark Kestecher will join us of the NBA on ESPN. He was in the building, called a game last night. History in L.A., even though the Lakers lost the game, which is exactly how everyone knew it was going to play out. LeBron sets the record. They still end up finding a way to lose. So we'll catch up with Mark, get his take on that. Steve Stan still to come. Our picks for the Waste Management. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Overdrive has a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Canadians, February 18th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue. This former Maple Leaf had 3 20-goal seasons in his career. 3 20-goal seasons in his career. All right. There you go. This could be anybody. We've had some really tough clues.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big game. Leafs-Habs on a Saturday night. Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, be a fun one.
Yeah, it should be a fun one, absolutely. I'm just seeing someone tweet in. It looks like the Kelce brothers are taping a podcast, and it will be released tomorrow, and they're like face-to-face on an NFL desk in Arizona.
That's crazy.
So, you know, we were debating, will they do the podcast? Will it come to an end? These two are doing it. They're face-to-face. I'll bet you they've got guests coming on. I think they had Mahomes join them last week. This week it'll probably be Jalen Hurts. You know, that's new media.
Cool.
They're doing whatever they want to do. They're grizzled vets. They're two great players. They're both probably Hall of Famers.
Nobody's going to say anything to them.
No one's saying anything. Like, Jason Kelce owns that locker room in Philly. And I would say Travis Kelce probably does the same thing in KC.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, that's a good question. Like, which Kelce brother will have a bigger impact on the outcome of the game? Where, you know, Travis gets more love because of the position he plays. He catches touchdowns.
Right.
But that Jason Kelce, man, he's the best center in the game, and he is a beast.
Yeah.
He is a beast.
Well, Travis has to be a difference maker if KC has a chance at winning.
Yes.
Really.
Yes.
He's got to be the story.
He's got to have a big game. No question. Has to have a big game. All right, final hour coming up. Mark Kesticher on the NBA, on what happened with LeBron last night. He was in the building watching history. And Steve Sands will join us to tee up the waste management. Also have picks in the final hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050, soon to be up on TSN 2.